Racing HQ it is on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Let's go to Brisbane and have a chat with Kelso Wood. How are you, Kelso?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good to talk to you, mate. Looking forward to seeing the likes of Nikita's come back into the stable. What's the horse been doing since that Magic Millions run?
No, we turned him out in the paddock. He's been out in the paddock. I'll bring him back another week.
How's he looking? Have you seen him?
Oh, yeah, he's developed quite good. He looks great.
He was good within himself as a two-year-old colt for what you've done there. I guess, what is it, Brisbane?
Yeah, we'll head for Brisbane. I had no intention of going to Golden Slipper or anything like that because he needs a break and he needs to develop a bit more. So we decided to turn him out and probably go the same direction I did with Sizzling. He won four straight when after he raced in the Magic Million, so we'll probably go that way.
Is he a similar horse to Sizzling, as in like the way he is developing?
Yes, he's a lot like him. Looks a lot like him. Same breeding. He's both out of the same type of mare and a gentleman DM mare.
Yep.
And the other bloke, Nikitas, is probably he's a half brother to that good mare that won the Oaks down there.
Yep. Okay, so I'm just looking at Sizzling's form here. Ran fourth in the Magic Millions and then came back and won the Ken Russell, the Champagne Classic, the Sires, and the TJ Smith, getting to a mile. This horse looks like a dead set miler, Nikitas, doesn't he?
Oh, for sure. For sure, 1,400 miles, might even get further.
The way he raced, he just looked like it too, didn't he, in the Magic Millions?
Yeah, he's running in the Magic Million was a lot better than his other races because he got up and travelled good and he's a bit closer to him and that, and, you know, I'm quite sure that as he goes along he'll develop better like that.
Yeah. And will you look at similar races, the ones I've just mentioned with this horse?
I'd say so.
Yeah, Kenny Russell's and the Champagne Classics.
If they fall in line.
Yeah, because it has changed a little bit since then, hasn't
right.
it? Yeah. What about the filly cricket? Take us back to, the horse won October of 2015 and looked like anything and then suffered an injury, Kelso.
Yeah, she hurt a suspensory and we had to pull up stumps on her then and put her out. We scanned her. After she'd been out for 3 months, I sent her up to Gatton University and they scanned her up there and it was really good. It looked really good, but we're going to give her another 3 months and on a program walking and that. And so she'll, you know, she's away yet.
Just
hopefully I can take her and the kids to Melbourne in the spring.
Yeah, well, we know how good she is off that one run. It sounds like you're just giving her extra time. Don't want to rush her back. She's got plenty of potential on the track. So the last thing you want to do is bring her back too quickly.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is there much between them, Kelso, these two?
They're different types of horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't... you can't compare them really, but I'm quite sure she would have been very competitive in the Magic Million if she had a run in it.
Do you feel that off her breeding and what she's shown you, she's a sort of a sprinter rather than a miler?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait to see her back. We've got a while to wait there, obviously, with another 3 months, but she's well worth the effort off that one run that we did see at cricket. Hey, Kelso, thanks for your time, mate. We look forward to seeing Nikitas back in the Brisbane Widow, horse with plenty of potential, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks, Kelso. Kelso Wood joining us there from Brisbane, as is Rob Heathcote. Morning to you, Rob.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you. Off the last text that I handed you about buffering, he should have walked into the stable. Was it yesterday?
He did on Monday. Well, Monday morning, actually. Yep. But all is in order. He's had his most of his vaccinations. In fact, he's got He's got one more to go on Friday, the second round of his EI to complete the primary course. And, all good to go on the 14th of March.
How's he cope with them, the vaccination shots?
Yeah, pretty good, Andrew. I mean, well known that a couple of years ago he got smashed by one of them that nearly knocked him out of the carnival. But I now realise that giving them to him whilst he's not, you know, under the duress of a race,
yep,
or racing at the current time, that's the best thing for him. He'll get over it fine.
Yeah, he's had it in the paddock or wherever you've been putting, stabling at night. He hasn't got the stress of track work or races.
Exactly. And whilst he's in work at the moment, it's another week, 10 days before I start winding him up again. But since he last raced in the Magic Millions, that's been a break of 4 weeks, two of which has been doing light pre-training exercise in the aquasizer, and also some light treadmill work. So he's ticked over nicely, and he's got a good level of fitness in him anyway.
Okay. Remind our listeners, you mentioned there on March 14 for Dubai. What sort of a race is it there on World Cup night?
There's two options we had to choose from. There's the 1,000-metre straight five on the turf track,
yep,
or there's also the 1,200 metres on the dirt track. Even though he trains on the dirt track at Eagle Farm the majority of the time, we've elected to go on the turf, and yeah, I would have preferred 1,200 metres, which I think is Buffering's optimum distance, but wasn't all that long ago he was winning in the scamper around the valley when he zipped over the 1,000 metres in 57 and change. So he's got a good record up the Flemington Straight, as we saw in the Darley Sprint when he ran a close fourth to, you know, probably the three big guns of our sprinting ranks in Delectation, Terra Vista and Chautauqua. So if he can repeat that form on the 26th of March, I think he'll be more than competitive.
He will be, for sure. Do you know, have you learnt much about your opposition at this stage or not?
Oh, pretty much. The talking with Mark Player, who's the international liaison from Hong Kong, he believes that Buffering's, you know, going to be one of the more fancied runners. We've got Paniophobia, which is the Hong Kong horse who won the international sprint last December. I think Soul Power, the Irish sprinter, he'll be there again. We've raced against him previously and beaten him. Buffering did race against Paniophobia 2 years ago, but that was in the international sprint when Buffering unfortunately got a hoof abscess 4 days before the race. So he's done a super job to get within three lengths. But I think if we don't have any of those setbacks, we can certainly make it a competitive event.
Yeah, no, it's such an exciting thing for you to head to Dubai with all the owners. Tell us, have you looked beyond Dubai?
Yes, we have. The Dubai Race Club, they fly us to Dubai and on to another country. But he can't come back to Australia because of quarantine restrictions. So we considered going on to England to race at Royal Ascot. But with the demise of the Chris Flyer sprint in Singapore, the Hong Kong Jockey Club then have added another sprint to sort of take over that race. They call it the Chairman Sprint. It's a Group 1. It's 1,200 metres weight for age at Sha Tin, and that's on the 1st of May, so 5 weeks after Dubai. The timing works brilliant, so he'll have, you know, a week, 10 days in Dubai to recover from his Alcoz sprint and then across to Hong Kong. He's been there before. It'll be a familiar environment for him, and then he'll race against the best from Hong Kong on the 1st of May before he then heads back to Australia, does his quarantine, has a break, and look, I mean, he's rising 9 years old, but I take heart, Andrew, from the fact that Takeover Target actually won two Group 1s in Australia as a 9 year old. So Buffering's fit, well, healthy, and still has the same enthusiasm. We'll have another crack at the spring in Melbourne.
Yeah, why not, if he's maintaining his form. All right, so the departure date for Dubai is March 14, and as you say, March 26 or 27 our time will be when Buffering lines up. Just before I let you go, you've got three or four in at Ipswich today. I only need one.
I can't split. I've got two nice horses. I've got a mare called Alpen Rose. Is up from Sydney. I think today with a good barrier and the 3 kilos off and a couple of scratchings in the race, and it doesn't look to be a lot of speed, so I think she can nearly lead all the way. I'll go very close. And I've got a nice horse. He went poorly first up, but I think that was as much trainer error when I ran him on a soft track at Caloundra, and that's Get Up Strop.
Yep.
And he gets race 7 today. He's a classy horse. There's a couple of good horses in that race, but my bloke's already a Saturday winner, and if he races to his best, he'll test these.
You've mentioned it in the past. All right, so that's race six, number six, Alpen Rose, and the other one, Get Up Strop, race seven, number two. Rob, we'll talk again, obviously, when the build-up to the Buff's departure. I hope everything goes to plan, mate. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Good on you, Rob. Rob Heathcote joining us there from Brisbane. Well, I often get asked, whatever happened to Nick Ryan? I've tracked him down. I spoke to him a few years ago at the Albury Cup Carnival where he was working with Brett Kavanagh, but he's now got his own base in Melbourne as a trainer. Nick, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. You've opened up a little base there. Are you in the stables or in the Aquanita set up there?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been at Caulfield for the past 12 months.
Okay.
I was working with Kieran Maher and had a couple in work at his stables. But just recently, I've got six boxes at Aquanita, and everything's going really well.
Fantastic. So are the options there? I mean, you want to slowly build it up, but are the options there where you could build beyond the six?
Yeah, possibly. At the moment, I've got a select team of horses,
yep.
A lot of two-year-olds and whatnot. Went out last year and bought six or so yearlings and was slowly building, yeah.
Well, Bo Garson is one that has done the right thing by you a couple of times.
Yeah, he's going great. He's strung three wins together and he's not far off having another start in the next couple of weeks. So he's done a terrific job, really.
Yeah, it has. You know, to get to have six and to have a horse win its last three, that gives you a pretty good mark that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I had a long time off the scene. I haven't ridden. I retired from being a jockey in April 2009 and had a bit of time away from the game. But probably the last 4 or 5 years, I've gone out and learned as much as I could in the aspects of training. And the last 12 months really put my head down and things are starting to really happen.
That was the next question I was going to ask you when you last rode. Did you end up riding? You rode in Singapore, didn't you?
I did. I had a little stint in Singapore. I was coming back from injury before I was heading back to Hong Kong and had a short, probably say 6 week stint in Singapore and then headed on to Hong Kong.
Okay. So where was your last ride? Was it there?
No, I think my last ride was actually at Geelong. I rode a winner for Peter Moody, last ever ride.
Okay, righto.
Yeah.
Well, you're back as a trainer now. Your name came to us a couple of weeks ago when you had a two-year-old called Removal, had a jump out at Caulfield, and Josh Rodham mentioned it from the Melbourne Racing Club. A nice progressive type?
Yeah, really, really nice colt, Andrew. He's done a terrific job. He's really come from the pre-trainers and breakers, and this is his first preparation, and he's done everything I've asked him. He's quite natural. He's had two jump outs. He went to Sandown and was very good, and then he's had another more recent one at Caulfield the other day and was even better, and got a really good constitution, and he's probably going to be stepping out in the next week or two. Really looking forward to it.
I guess you had the option of maybe a Blue Diamond Prelude, but you've decided obviously not to go there. You didn't nominate, but isn't far away from the racetrack.
Yeah, I was tempted. I was tempted to nominate for the Prelude this Saturday, but I'm more leaning towards Moonee Valley on the 19th, which is Friday week, as a 1,000-metre two-year-old race there. We'll most likely see him step out then.
Okay, but he shows you a bit, Nick.
Yeah, definitely. He's very, very smart. As I said, it's his first preparation. He's done a massive job. He's my first crop of two-year-olds. As I said, my stepfather and I went out and brought six yearlings last year, and he's the first one to really push. And I've got another couple actually not far behind him that are actually showing a bit of promise as well. So it's quite exciting.
Yeah, it would be for sure. I was on a plane last week and this man approached me and it actually was your stepdad. I couldn't believe how I was texting you last week or the week before about Removal. I couldn't believe that I was meeting him.
Yeah, he was heading up to Sydney, the sales, where we actually picked up another three.
Okay.
So, yeah, the stable's going well.
Yeah, it is. All right, well, we're looking forward to seeing the two-year-old colt Removal when it steps out. I'll update for our listeners when we see it in there over the next week or two. Nick, good to talk to you, mate. Good luck. as a trainer there at Caulfield. I hope you can slowly build the team up and make an immediate presence of yourself, mate.
No worries, Andrew. It's great talking to you.
No, good on you. Nick Ryan joining us there. Former top jock, last rode in 2009, now a trainer at Caulfield in Melbourne. Spoke with Darren Weir this morning just about his team. He would have preferred... actually, I'll bring Mark Hunter into this. Mark, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew.
I spoke with Darren about Palantino, a few of his horses, but... he would have preferred Palantino to have a harder run last Saturday. The horse, the jock decided to go in when Darren thought he should have come out, but he just needed a bit of daylight to produce himself. He's going to sort of give him a bit more extra work on Friday and next Tuesday ahead of running at Flemington. Do you feel that just watching the replays and watching him on the day?
I wish I had my name in the owner's list of Palantino, Andrew. It might just dominate things.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely outstanding. I can see what he means, but gee whiz, going to that Flemington race in 2 weeks' time over 1400, you'll see it run super, and I reckon you'll just see it win the guineas.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Mahuta runs, of course, on Saturday. He loves taking his horses away and using those Western Districts tracks of Camperdown and Terang, and he did it on Monday. Mahuta galloped with Lucky Hustler at Terang on Monday. That was also the case with Trust in August and his new horse into the stable, Blackheart Bart. They galloped at Camperdown last Friday over 800. Terang on Tuesday also had Stratum Star gallop with a stable mate and a strong gallop in preparation for its run on Saturday. But he said, look, the ground at Terang and Camperdown was just 100%, and why not take them there and give them good ground to gallop on?
Gee, he's got, just reading out those names, he's got the stable of stars for sure. He's got the formula down pat. He just knows what to do, how to get them ready for what races, and those tracks would, I'm sure they would accommodate having Darren Weir horses trialling there as well. So they'd prepare a beautiful surface, not too hard, and the horses come through the trial well.
Perfect Reflection is another one that the new one for Bob Peters that's gone into his team. It'll run on Saturday week, and she's going to have a strong gallop, I think, Friday in preparation for that. So he's got a large team for sure. All right, Hillside at Sandown. How's it look today?
I think it looks good.
All right.
Two hard races through the middle of the program, but I reckon we'll... I reckon we'll be winning by the time the quaddy starts, and then we can load up the quaddy.
All right, well, give us the best is what I'm trying
best,
to say.
Andrew, race 1, number 12, and race 2, number 5. The first one, race 1, number 12, is the Sorceress. Showed really good ability last campaign. Got a long way back in its races, but ran on well in pretty good company. Nick Hall takes over. We saw the same thing with Puritan. Nick Hall taking over. We saw big improvement. It's trialled recently at Geelong. A lot sharper in the trial setup, even though it was only moderately run. It's set up 1-1, so I think from gate 6 we can settle 5th or 6th here. Come to the outside, it's got a big finish, and it should simply be too good in race 1.
Okay, Nick Hall currently $3.40. That's race 1, number 12.
And race 2, number 5, Black Diamond Girl. This horse was absolutely outstanding winning on debut. It ran super time, it just jumped. It's a flying machine. It quickly went to the front. Wanted to drift off the track a little bit around Kilmore, but just raced away. There's been terrific form out of the race, given a little let-up. Its trial recently at Caulfield went fantastic. It should just spear out, lead. Look, it's only got a run to its last campaign. I see it's been well backed into about $2, but if it runs to its last run and its recent jump out, it'll be winning race 2.
Okay, yeah, seeing it here, it's been $2.40 into about $2. So the two there for Sandown, race 1, number 12, into race 2, number 5. The quaddy begins with race 5.
I don't like this race, so I'll be leaving out 6, 9 and 12. My numbers are 10, 3, 2 and 5. There's very little between them. Number 10, Smoke and Bella, just failed last start. I give it the nod because of the weight advantage here to beat number 3, Bet You She Rocks, who's pretty much been around in everything, but it's well suited this class. 2, Magnum Slipper. It's resuming at 1,500 metres, which I think's unusual. It's got a chance, but it's a bit of an ask first up. And then number 5, Taylor's Secret, who will go forward with that claim. It's got some chance also. It's a race I don't like, 10-3-2-5.
What about race 6 here over the staying trip, 2,400?
I'm putting in 6, 7 and 11 in my quaddy. My numbers are 7, 6, 11 and 5. Number 7, Ariane, really should just be an each-way certainty. It's A good second two starts ago, dropped back in trip last start, got out sprinted, through the line was strong. It's got Nick Hall from gate one. It's ready now for the 2400, should be fourth or fifth inside, and just won't miss to beat number six, Arizona Girl, who's getting better with each run for Darren Weir. This is a harder race, but we'll go forward with the claim. 11 bullish stock, missed a start the other day. That was the end of its chances. It's the other winning hope. Then out to number five, Courageous Rock, who comes off a much weaker race up at Ballarat. 7, 6, 11 and 5.
Okay, to race 7, only scratching here number 6.
Well, it's either number 2 here, or I don't know. Number 2, Powderworks, has gone from Tony McAvoy, now joined Darren Weir. It's a horse that will get back in its race like it does, like it has been in Adelaide. It's been really strong. It's been green. It's got a huge riding change here to Brad Rawilla. I think the distance is perfect. It's 6 weeks between runs, so that's all you're betting on, you know, whether it's fully fit for this run. If it's right, it'll be too good. If it's not, the race opens up. I think second pick is number 10, Racing Writer, who's going really well, got the claim for Harry Coffey. 5, L.A. Lou, is never far away. It'll be running on. And maybe number 9, Paran, next best, who's dropping in grade and class. Been a bit disappointing. Look, 2's a standout. Fitness the only query from 10, 5 and 9.
And what about the last leg here over the 1,300?
2 winning chances, 9 and 14. Not much between them. I'll go number 9. He's our Rockeye, who comes back from, well, good runs against Maputa and co in Melbourne, then went to Perth. Just had no luck, never got out up the straight. It's had a recent jump out where it actually showed speed and went okay. Got the wide barrier draw to overcome to beat number 14, French Emotion. You can't win any better than what it won first up. It's obviously a dry tracker. It just sprouted wings the last 200 metres. I think one of the two will win. Then out to number 2, Dodging Bullets. Nice horse coming back from a spell. Just found a hot race. And 3, Rock and Gold, who's never too far away but doesn't win. 9 from 14, then 2 and 3.
All right, so we've got to get away with that first leg by the sounds of it, don't we?
Yep, first leg. Happy with the 3 picks in the second leg, numbers 6, 7, 11. Please yourself if you take Powderworks 1 out. And only 9 and 14 required in the last.
All right, we'll see how we go. The best, race 1, number 12, and race 2, number 5. We're on a good 3, Sandown Hillside. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, Andrew.
Mark Hunter looking there. By the way, Fell Swoop has had a jump out just minutes ago at Canberra. According to Matty Dale, the horse has trialled nicely. Second was Single Gaze, the horse of Nick Olives, and he's told me that all being equal, Fell Swoop runs first up in the Oakley Plate. It'll be interesting to see what weight the horse gets. If it's 54 or over, Damien Oliver. If it's under 54, it'll be someone else. So there we go. Fell Swoop, jump out this morning at Canberra and doing it nicely.